And the first hymn this evening is the hymn 466. 466, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Amen. May we stand again, please, for prayer as we unite around the throne of grace this evening. Each and every one, let us bow our hearts even before Almighty God. Our God and our Father in heaven, we do come in, O God, before thee this evening, acknowledging that we are coming before a thrice holy God. We do acknowledge, O God, that in and of ourselves we have nothing but horrible wounds and putrefying sores. And yet, O God, this night we thank thee that we have been covered in the precious blood of Christ. We have been clothed in his righteousness. Lord, we thank thee that as we come into the throne room of heaven, that thou dost not look upon us as we truly are, but, O God, thou dost see thy Son. We thank thee for our Saviour. We thank thee for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. The one who took our sin and our sorrow, and he made them his very own. We thank thee this night for salvation. We thank thee, O God, this night that we have that assurance, that blessed assurance, that Jesus is mine. Lord, we praise Thee, even for that hymn that we have just listened to. Lord, that wonderful testimony, even of the guidance of Almighty God in our lives, and how much we need it. Lord, we think of the Israelites and how Thou didst guide them, even through those years in the wilderness, with that fiery cloud, or that cloud, that pillar of cloud, and that pillar of fire. Lord, we thank Thee that they, whenever the cloud moved, they moved. O God, how much we need that in our lives, the leading and the guiding of Almighty God each and every step. Lord, we pray that it will ever be the case. We pray, O God, that we will ever keep our eyes fixed upon Thee. We will ever look to Thee, the author and the finisher of our faith. That we will not have our trust in any other. We will not trust in man. We will not trust in any government or anything else. But, O God, that we will trust in Thee and in Thee alone. Lord, undertake and order our footsteps each and every day. We thank Thee that Thou art the God of even the providence. Lord, Thou art the God of all will. Lord, we thank and praise Thee that Thy will be done. We do rejoice in this. We rejoice, O God, that Thou hast a will that is set, and no man can change it. Lord, we ask Thee that we will ever look to Thee and be in submission even to Thy will. Lord, bless us this evening as we are in Thy house. Bless us, O God, as we read Thy word, as we worship together, and as we even hear Thy word preached. Lord, that it will come with that freshness and that power from on high. Lord, we do not want to simply spend an hour in Thy house. We want, O God, to meet with Thee. We want to hear Thy voice, that still small voice, even to our hearts. Lord, bless each one that is here. O God, bless every family that is represented. Bless, O God, each one that is listening online as well. Lord, Thou knowest every need. Thou knowest the spiritual needs. O God, Thou knowest those that are still outside of Christ. Oh, that Thou wilt have mercy upon them. That Thou wilt save their precious souls. Thou knowest, O God, Thy children that are suffering at this time and going through dark valleys. O Lord, undertake for them. Undertake again, we bring Thee those that are mourning. Lord, comfort them and sustain them each and every day. May they be able to testify that the Lord is with them, that the Lord is upholding them, that the Lord's arms are round about them. O God, remember those that are sick. Undertake for them. Give them that grace that is sufficient. O Lord, we pray for them. Undertake for our young people. Lord, even each one that is going through at times in their lives, Lord, whether it be changes in job, or whether it be schooling and coming up to exams, O Lord, undertake for each one, we pray Thee. Give them that help. Give them that grace. Lord, in such uncertain times when so much is different from the normal for them, O Lord, may they know that the Lord is leading them and guiding them and is with them every step of the way. Lord, bless our denomination as a whole. We do pray for each and every minister of Thine, each and every servant. We think of our licentiates as well, and we think, O God, of the empty churches, and we pray that if it be Thy will, O God, that Thou wilt unite even men to churches. That, O God, as churches have that desire even to have their pulpits filled, O, that it will be known even to them the mind of God, and it will be placed upon the man's heart. And, O God, we commit it into Thy hands. Lord, bless us this night. O God, encourage us in this house. May we leave here, even after this service is over, rejoicing that God has met with us and God has spoke afresh to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to read some verses tonight from the book of Acts once again. And it is a shorter reading from chapter 16. Acts and the chapter 16. And we're going to commence at the verse 6. And we're just going to read down to the end of the verse 12. So the book of Acts and the chapter 16. And the verse 6 says, Now when They had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Messiah, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Messiah, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. If you have your hymn books, once again, the hymn that we're going to listen to is a hymn 511. The hymn 511 throughout the Lifeline. Amen. Let's have our Bibles open, please, and let me encourage you even to keep them open in Acts 16. The book of Acts in the chapter 16. And the portion that we read together this evening, I want to look at it under the title or the heading, The Effectual Door for the Preacher. The Effectual Door for the Preacher. Let's just stand for a moment's prayer, please. Change our positions once again. And that each and every one be praying that the Lord will speak to every heart, even from his word this evening. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, for the gospel. Lord, even as we consider that hymn that we've just listened to, and the great need, O God, to throw out that lifeline, to cast out the nets upon the water. O Father, we thank thee even that we can look at this time in Paul's life and in this missionary journey, when the cry came to him, O God, even as we'll look at tonight, he answered that call, and he went. O God, he went bearing that precious seed of the gospel. Lord, come even now and speak to our hearts. Come, O God, and even settle our minds, even to receive and ready us to receive thy word. Lord, hedge us round about in that precious blood. Keep all the distracting thoughts out of this meeting. Keep the devil out of this meeting, O God. May we not be wandering in our minds here, there, and everywhere. But rather, O God, may we be even sitting around the feet of Christ tonight, hearing his word. Lord, fill us with thy spirit, I pray. Empty us of self and of sin. And even through the preaching of thy word, glorify thy Son. In his worthy name we pray. Amen. Amen. There is a little chorus that I learned when I was young. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. The inside, the outside, and which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you? Of course, that little chorus is speaking of the door of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based upon the words that are found spoken by our Savior in John 10 and verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And of course, it's very clear through the teaching of Scripture that there is only one door into heaven. There is only one way in which we can come into that physical presence of the Lord, and it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are not many doors into heaven. There are not many gates. There is not walls that we can scale and climb over. There is only one door. There's only one door, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way of salvation. Salvation is not of ourselves. As it says behind me, salvation is of the Lord. He is the only door that brings us even into heaven. You know, for any of us to be saved, we have to go through that door. If we are to be born again, if we are to have that fellowship with the Lord, we must come in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be brought under that fountain of blood that was drawn from Emmanuel's veins. We must be plunged neath it and cleansed and washed forever. There's only one door of salvation, but you could also say that of service as well. There's only one door of service. You know, just as you cannot go through multiple doors in the literal sense, you can only walk through one door at a time. Well, so it is the same, and you can apply that to the service, even in the master's service. You can only go through one door of service at a time. This is clear whenever Paul writes to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 16, in the verse 9. He says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. You'll note that he says it in the singular. He doesn't say there are many doors and they're all effectual. He says there is a great door. There's one door of service at a time. When we join the Apostle Paul, who along with Silas has started that second missionary journey, and as they have come to Derbe and Lystra, you'll know from last week that they then recruited young Timothy. And now as they're setting out from Derbe and Lystra, they're ready to go further on their journey. They're ready to go further in the advancement of the gospel and the preaching of it to whatever cities, to whatever towns and nations that they can come to. But yet in the verses that we read together this evening, you have recorded within these verses a very important lesson. A very important lesson that not only did Paul have to learn, but indeed all of us need to learn in our lives. How true it is that not everything that we learn as we go through life is in a classroom. There's only so much a teacher can teach. There's only so much education that you can take. There are certain things that you will learn whenever you're not in the classroom. There are certain things that you will continue to learn throughout your life. It's the same for the preacher. I did not learn everything that I'll need in my 4 years in Bible college. I will be learning to the day that I die. Because all of our learning is not just confined to the one room or to the one area. Our learning from Almighty God continues every single step. You think of the Apostle Paul. He spent those years in the desert in Arabia. He was there taught of the Lord Jesus himself. And yet, even after those years in Arabia, yet he is still now being taught. He was not taught everything that he needed there and then. He wasn't taught at all in his furlough times either. It wasn't a case when you're out in the field, you're out to work. And then when you're in furlough, then I can teach you more. No, he's here in the midst of the missionary journey. He's setting out from Derbe and Lystra. The numbers have been strengthened once again. The missionary band is up to its full strength as before. And yet now the Spirit of God intervenes. In accordance with God's will, now it's time to learn another lesson. You know how important it is for each of us as we make our way through life that we are taught more and more of God's word. That we're taught more and more of God's will. That will for our lives, that even as we seek to serve the Lord in whatever capacity the Lord is opening to us, whatever the Lord is available even for us to do and has brought even to us and brought to our hearts and even opened those doors for each of us to go through, that we're still learning. We're still continuing to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. There are three things I want to leave with you this evening in relation to this effectual door for the preacher. I want you to see firstly the verses 6 and 7. You have the withholding of the preacher. The withholding of the preacher. It tells us that when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Then you go into the verse 7. It tells us again they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Paul and Silas, along with young Timothy, they're continuing their journey. And they go through all of that area, that region of Phrygia and Galatia. They've preached in town after town. And then they're saying in their hearts, they're saying in their heads. They have that common purpose, that common desire amongst them. We will now go further into Asia. We will go and expand even further. We will make those journeys. But yet they're forbidden. And then they say, okay, well, we can't go this way, so now we'll turn our attention and we'll go down to Bithynia. And once again, it's blocked. And what you have now is Paul experiencing something that he's never experienced before in the work of God. What you have now for the Apostle Paul is something new in the mission field. God is shutting doors. God is not allowing him to go further. God is stopping him there in his tracks. You think in his first missionary journey when he set out with Barnabas, they went to Cyprus, they came to Antioch of Syria, they went to Iconium, they went to city after city. Whatever they purposed to do, the Lord permitted it in his sovereign will and doors were opened. And yet now, for the very first time, here's something new. He's saying, oh, I'm going to go to Asia. Door closed. No, you're not. Okay, I'll go to Bithynia. Door closed. No, you're not. God is shutting doors. Now the text, it doesn't signal, it doesn't show us how these doors were closed. It doesn't explain what way or what providence the Lord allowed that shut those doors. Or whether it was through their devotions and their readings that it became very clear to them that it was not the Lord's will. We don't know. We cannot speculate, but we can say this with a certainty. The door was shut. And Paul came very clearly to understand this was not shut by man. This is God the Holy Spirit shutting these doors on us. It isn't simply that we have to try harder, or it isn't simply something that in my mind that's been planted off myself. God has shut this door. How important it is to know the will of the Lord when we're serving Him. How important that every single step in our lives and every single step of service, that we can say without assurance that every single part, whatever it is that we're doing for the Lord, that we can say, I am in the center of God's will. I am exactly where I need to be. I am exactly where the Lord wants me to be. You know, it's sad whenever individuals think, and they say, as long as I'm doing something, that's good enough. And they're saying, well, whatever I'm willing to do, that's what I'll do. That's service, isn't it? If I do what I'm comfortable to do, and if I only do what I have my boundaries, and as long as I do what I'm willing to do, then that's me serving the Lord. That's round the wrong way, isn't it? Service for the Lord is not what you're willing to do. It's what God wills you to do. See, whenever that service, whenever that vein of thought and the heart is saying, I'll do what I am willing to do, that actually can lead to disservice. Because if you're not going where the Lord wants you to go and you're going in your own direction, that can actually lead to harm to the Lord's work. You see, in the service of the King, and always remember this, whenever you're involved in the work of God, it is not the work of a church. It is not the work of the minister. It is not the work of the session or the denomination or whatever other board or branch you want to look at. Whenever you're involved in God's work, it is the work of the King. And you think for a moment, how many times have you ever heard of a servant going to the king and telling the king what they'll do for him? You think of all down through the years, whenever the kings were ruling and even had that more authority and power within nations. Many times did you ever hear a servant going up to the king and telling the king, Your Majesty, this is what I'm going to do for you and this is all I'm going to do. No, whatever the king says, the servant does. It's the same in the army too, as the corporals or the little privates, as it were, the smallest ranks in the army, do not go to the generals and the captains and tell them, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'll tell you where we're going to go and who we're going to fight. No, we say as servants of the king, we serve. And each one that's saved, how important it is that we call not only Christ our Savior, but we call him Lord. And he's Lord over our lives. And he's Lord over everything. That we do not step outside of his will. We do not take those steps that we seek to take. But rather in everything, in every thought, in every word, in every deed, that we are going exactly where the Lord wants us to go. And even through these verses that we've read this evening, how clear it is that the will of God is not always revealed to us in positives, but many times in the negative. Closed doors as well as open doors show forth God's will. Just because the door is open does not mean that is the only way that God will show you his will. A closed door can show you his will as much as an open door can. You know, we can look at a need. We can see that need, and it's something that burdens us. It's something that's on our mind. And we can say, well, I'm going to do something about that. I'm taking it upon myself, and I'm going to do it, because the way that that is, that needs fixed, that needs rectified, and yet the Lord can say, no. And we might not understand why. Because it may be a very clear, a very genuine need, and we're saying that is something that needs to be done. And it's not a case that the Lord's disagreeing with you, but the Lord's saying no to you doing it. See, that's where faith comes in. Faith is not just evidenced in obeying the commands to go or to do, but it's also in accepting God's will when he says don't. Faith is accepting, even though it may perplex us, even though we cannot understand it, we cannot fathom it. Faith is accepting that your ways are not God's ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You might ask the question as you read these verses tonight, why? Why did God not allow Paul to go into further into Asia? Why did God not allow Paul to go to Bithynia? I'm reminded, of course, of the words of the psalmist, where he simply says, as for God, his way is perfect. And Paul had to be reminded of that at this very moment. And you think of that, Paul and Silas, and now Timothy joining their ranks as well. Why would God not want them to go and to preach the gospel? Why would God not allow them to go further to reach more men and more women? I'm reminded of the words that are found in Ezekiel. Ezekiel in the chapter 3 and the verse 26. The Lord speaking on to the prophet, he says, I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. There was Ezekiel desirous to go and to speak. Yet the Lord says, no, if you speak, if you attempt to speak, I'm going to make basically your tongue stick to your mouth, that you won't be able to say one word. See, doesn't it say in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is a time to speak. There's a time to keep silent. And of course, some of the areas that are mentioned here, at a later time, Paul will go to. And Paul will preach in. And certainly that place of Bithynia, hopefully you'll have recognized it even from 1 Peter chapter 1. Because that epistle, as we've started to look at in the prayer meeting, to the scattered believers, and to the strangers. And Bithynia is one of the places that is mentioned. So at some stage, either the Apostle Paul or someone else did go to Bithynia and did carry the gospel. But at that moment in Paul's life, he was not only being taught that lesson, but also it was not the time to go. Always remember, God's will is perfect, and his timing is perfect. And as I said, we may not understand what is around the corner. We may think the best time is now, and therefore go and do. And yet the Lord can just close a door, slam it shut, and say, no, not now. You know, I think of Joseph. He's there in the prison. He met with the chief butler and the chief baker. He told them their dreams, and after 3 days, the chief butler would be restored to his office. Chief baker was taken out and hung.
What was the final words that Joseph said to the chief butler? Please tell Pharaoh about me. In other words, please make an appeal to the king for me that I get out of this prison. And I'm sure as that butler was freed, as that butler returned to his job, I'm sure Joseph was filled with hope. And he's praying to the Lord, Lord, may it be so. May it come to pass, even in the next day or so, within the next week, that I get out of this prison. Because, Lord, you know I'm innocent. You know I shouldn't be here. And, Lord, I've been in here long enough. And yet he would spend another 2 years. 2 years. Because the literal prison door was shut. And the effectual door was shut. But what happened at the end of 2 years? Pharaoh had his dreams. And then the Spirit of God came with that message even to the butler. The butler gave it to Pharaoh. Then Joseph was brought out of prison. And raised right up to hold that office within Egypt of being the second in command. Brethren and sisters, if God closes a door, or if he simply refuses to open a door, don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Keep on believing. As I said, the words of the psalmist, as for God, his way is perfect. Because not only here in this passage was, and this point in the time, was Paul and Silas withheld, but then I want you to see what came next. The verse 9, we have secondly the want for the preacher. The want for the preacher. The verse 9, it says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now we surmise whenever we read this verse that it was a very short time before the door being closed and then this Macedonian call coming. And it's very clear therefore now to see exactly why the doors were shut. Exactly why the Lord did not permit him to go to Asia. Exactly why the Lord did not permit him to go to Bithynia. Now came the Macedonian call. Come over. And help us. You see, there was Paul seeking to go through the man-made door. There was Paul and Silas. They had that desire. They were unified together. Yes, we'll go to Asia. Yes, we'll go to Bithynia. And the Lord of heaven, the God of providence, every time is saying, no. Because my door's about to open. You're going to Macedonia. What you have in that verse is an earnest pleading. Because that word there in the verse 9, and prayed him. The word there for prayed, it means besought, it means pleaded. Earnestly crying unto Paul, even in that vision, that Macedonian man as he comes, he's crying unto Paul, please come over and help us. This, of course, would mean Paul leaving Asia Minor, sailing over the Aegean Sea into Europe, specifically into an area that was part of the Grecian Empire. You think of all that ancient Greece was, all that ancient Greece offered, all that ancient Greece has given to civilization. Ancient Greece had some of the most elaborate culture, had some of the greatest minds which have produced philosophy which is still famous to this day, and their names still live on even though they were many hundreds of years BC. Men such as Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. The Greek Empire also had one of the greatest armies that there's ever been. An army which took on all of the Persian Empire. I'm speaking specifically of the Spartans. They had a great Athenian navy that could destroy any other navy that were on the seas at that time. They had also the heritage of Alexander the Great. Then you can think of the sporting activities of the Greeks. The Greeks gave us the Olympics. That their coming together of nations and having in those days, it was races for speed, it was contests for strength, and all of those things. And from that we have what we still have today in the Olympics. It had thousands of gods and various religions. And yet all of those things, and yet all of the different attributes that Greece had, the Macedonian call comes, please come and help us. Come and bring the gospel. Come over unto this nation and bring the gospel, bring that message of good news. Bring and preach the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because man can have his philosophies, man can have his culture, man can have his sport. But as we noticed this morning with the Queen of Sheba, without Christ you've nothing. Without Christ you've nothing. Isn't that what we highlighted this morning? We do so again this evening, the void in a life without Christ. The emptiness, the wastefulness, the pointlessness of life. How sad it is, and how even to this very day. I think it's so tragic. Those that do not believe in God. Those that do not believe in the afterlife. They do not believe in heaven and in hell. They believe that when they're put in the ground, or they're burnt or cremated, or whatever way they seek to go, they believe that's it, the end, game over. And so whenever illness has come upon the body, my, how many individuals have committed suicide because they don't believe there's anything after. Now even that desire, assisted dying and all the rest of it. Why? Because men and women do not see anything to beyond life, so they do not see a point in their life if they're not fit and healthy. And this man, whoever he was, this Macedonian, he's seen what his country has to offer. And he's seeing the ruination of his countrymen. He's seeing the ruination of his people. That even though they have all of their heritage, of all of their history, they have everything in the past. And yet there he was looking around and he's seen despondency. He's seen darkness. He's seen despair. And he cries in that vision, come over. Help us. Come over and lift up Christ. And he might draw all men unto himself. Come over and shine that light of the gospel into this land. My, is there any greater need for Northern Ireland today? Our country that is so much culture. Our country which is so much love for sport. Our country, which over these years has seen the rise in interest and acceptance in philosophy, atheism, humanism, coupled in with the numerous religions that are growing even within our land. And all of the false gods that there are believed in and worshipped. My, surely there ought to be that Macedonian call from us in our hearts, even crying on to the Holy Spirit, come down upon us. We are so lost in this land. This land is so lost. There ought to be that cry from our hearts. Not a Macedonian cry, but an Ulster man's cry to the Holy Spirit, breathe upon us. Send the Holy Spirit. Revive us, O Lord. That Macedonian, he appeared unto Paul. He had only one want for the preacher. You come, you preach. Please come and help us. When you see, thirdly, verse 10, you have the willingness of the preacher. The willingness of the preacher. It tells us in verse 10, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. My, what a response this was to the door being opened. Yes, it wasn't the door that Paul desired. It wasn't the door that Paul went after. It wasn't in Paul's timing. It wasn't in Paul's way, but it was in the Lord's way. It was in the Lord's timing. And when that door opened, my, look at what happened. The Spirit of God opened the effectual door. Paul went through it. It's wonderful to note the response of Paul. Firstly, there is unity. Because I believe the first thing he did after that vision, he gathered Silas, he gathered Timothy. As we noted last week in the reading, now Luke has joined their company as well. He brought the three of them, he sat them down, and he told them exactly what God had said. He didn't simply dictate to them. He didn't wake them in the morning and say, right, we're going. He gathered them round, brethren, the Lord has met with me. I've seen a vision of a Macedonian man and he's crying out for us to come. He lays it all out before them. And look at what it said there, even as Luke testifies in this writing. He says, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called, notice the next word, us. Not that the Lord had called Paul. The Lord had called us. That burden, yes, first revealed to Paul, but now that burden has gripped the hearts of Silas, gripped the heart of Timothy, and gripped the heart of Luke. And all three of them, they're assuring and gathered together. They've heard all of the information. They've heard all of the words. And they're coming together. And that purpose and that burning within their hearts is this. God has called us. God has opened the door. We must go together. Now you can sense the excitement. Even in those words, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. You can sense the enthusiasm that there is within the team. All of them are pulling their weight. All of them are willing to go. All of them are working together in the preparations for that journey. There's the unity, but there's also the urgency. Verse 10, it just simply says, immediately. We endeavored to go. There's no dragging of the feet. There's no complaint. There's nobody saying, oh, I wanted Bithynia. I would have rather went to Asia. All of them immediately, the urgency is there. We're all going, this door is open, and we are completely what? Submitted. And in submission to the will of God. God made his will clear and known to them there is a submissive attitude. Just as they had submitted to the closed door, so too did they submit to the open one. And so they went. And it's interesting what we read then at the end of verse 12. Verse 11 and verse 12 really just highlights to us the route that they went through Samothracia, next day to Neapolis, and then they came to Philippi. Look at the final words of verse 12. It says, we were in that city abiding certain days. There was no welcome party at the harbor. As that boat pulled up, come in from the Aegean Sea, there's no great throng of people standing there to welcome them. There was no welcome team saying, we have a church prepared for you. We have a place. We're gathering the people together. All you have to do is come and preach. They're just so desirous to hear your message. They went and they were abiding certain days. What did that also mean? There was no immediate move of the Holy Spirit. It was not the case that the minute they landed, the first message they preached, God moved. That didn't happen. But yet, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, they knew God had called them there. And they went immediately. And there was no thought within their head, oh, you know, God hasn't moved yet. I could have took my time. We could have had another week or two. We're here day after day. God's not moving. The Spirit of God's not saving. Why did we come so quick? They knew God had called them. They went at the command of God. They were where they were supposed to be, in the center of God's will. And yet souls were not being saved. There's no clear move evident. So what should they do? Very simply, wait. Wait. Now, how often is the case? Sometimes efforts are made in a certain area. Try for maybe a wee while and then, no, it's not working. We'll just move on. The Apostle Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke, they waited. You know, there are some wonderful words over in Hebrews in chapter 10. In verse 35, it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Ye have need of patience. Just wait a little while. My, how important patience in the work of God is. If Paul and Silas had simply went there, spent, what, a week, and preached every part of that area of Philippi, and said, no, nobody gets saved, let's move on, they would have missed out on what God had for them. The great work that would be done in Philippi in the days to come, the salvation of Lydia, the salvation of that woman that was possessed with the devils, the salvation of the Philippian jailer and his family, they would have missed out on it all if they hadn't had patience. You know, many great works of the Lord, very small, very slow beginnings. I've heard of many gospel missions down through the years. In the old days, of course, gospel missions went on for weeks and weeks. Maybe 3-4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks, nothing. And then God came. Even though the beginnings may be small, even though to us in our human eyes, it can even look like a hopeless case. Remember the words of Job 8 and verse 7. Lo, thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Apostle Paul, Silas, Timothy, Luke, they went to Philippi. And for certain days they had nothing. Yes, I'm sure they had opportunities to preach, and I'm sure they took them. And they preached as well as they could have ever preached. They presented the gospel, they presented Christ. Nothing happened. But then God came. Child of God, first of all tonight, be sure that you're in the center of God's will for you. Be sure of that. And when you're in the center of God's will, then continue to be faithful and be patient. That applies to me here in this pulpit. That applies to this work here in this area. Mine come and you can think, oh, well, that's a new man coming to an area. Everything's going to just kick off. It can take years. We're called to where we're called to. We're called to be faithful. We're called to be patient. When the Spirit of God comes, He comes in His time in accordance with the will of God. That's where our hope's in tonight. That's where our faith's in tonight. God opens the doors. God closes the doors. God's way is perfect. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, just rejoice, O God, in this book of Acts. We thank Thee, O God, for what we can glean verse after verse in it. Lord, even how we can see and follow in the steps of Thy servants of bygone years. Lord, to see the doors that were closed, the doors that were opened, to see the hand of the Lord upon them. We thank Thee that Thou art the same God today. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou art the only one who can open and close doors. Lord, enable us, Thy people, to ever be in the center of Thy will. To be willing to be used in whatever way Thou seest fit. To be willing to go through whatever door Thou dost open for us. O God, help us to be patient. Help us to wait in Thee. Help us, O God, to keep our eyes upon Thee. To ever lift our eyes up off ourselves and up off everything else and to fix them upon the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, write what has been of Thee upon each heart this evening. Lord, encourage us in our walks with Thee. And Father, bless each one in this week to come. Whether they be in the workplace or the home place, Lord, undertake for each one. And bless us, we pray. Bless this church. O God, we long for souls. But until Thy time, O God, keep us faithful. Lord, bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.